Welcome to the next podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, published by Oxford University Press. Once you've listened to this life of Charles Mackintosh, chemist and inventor of waterproof fabric, why not visit the dictionary online at www.oxforddmb.com. Here you can learn more about the people who've shaped all walks of British life, from the 4th century BC to the 21st century. Charles Mackintosh, 1766 to 1843, chemist and inventor of Mackintosh waterproof fabrics, written by Geoffrey Mawson. Charles Mackintosh was born in Glasgow on the 29th of December 1766, the son of George Mackintosh, a merchant of the city, and his wife, Mary Moore. Charles was educated at a Glasgow grammar school and afterwards at a school in Catterick Bridge, Yorkshire. Although placed for training in a Glasgow counting house, his spare hours were devoted to science. Initially interested in botany, he subsequently turned to chemistry, and he often attended the lectures of the chemist William Irvine in Glasgow, and later those of the chemist and physician Joseph Black in Edinburgh. Charles embarked upon a successful business career before he was 20. In 1786, he introduced from the Netherlands the manufacture of sugar of lead, known as lead acetate. And about the same time, he commenced making acetate of alumina. In 1797, he started the first alum works in Scotland and subsequently became connected with the St. Rollox bleaching powder works near Glasgow. 7 years earlier, in 1790, he had married Mary, daughter of Alexander Fisher of Glasgow, a merchant who claimed distant descent from certain kings of Scotland. During a long business career, Mackintosh either invented or introduced from abroad a variety of chemically based processes with distinct commercial applications. In addition to the manufacture of lead acetate, these included a new method for calico printing, a variety of methods for dyeing cloth, particularly with Prussian blue, a valuable method of bleaching using dry chloride of lime, a method for preserving citric acid during ocean voyages, a manufacturing process for yeast, and a variety of inventions relating to iron and steel. However, it was in about 1820, while experimenting with the byproducts of coal gas, that Charles Mackintosh came upon or rediscovered his lasting and best-known innovation. This was a method for sealing a layer of rubber in between layers of cloth that still carries his name. The waterproof fabric he created, although subject to deterioration in extremes of cold or heat, was commercially successful for making garments, medical devices, nautical equipment, tents, and other products requiring flexibility and impermeability. Mackintosh was not the first to devise a way of using rubber to make fabrics waterproof, but his chemical method, using cheap coal oil as a solvent, was particularly well suited to large-scale economical manufacturing, and he and his business partners also possessed considerable skill as well in devising and then promoting a very large variety of rubber goods which could be mass-produced using his method. It is likely that his method led to the first rubber products widely used by the general public for everyday purposes. A patent for his waterproofing process was obtained in June 1823, and based upon it, Mackintosh, in partnership with the inventor Thomas Hancock, established and then expanded a successful manufacturing and marketing business in Glasgow and Manchester. Many practical difficulties had to be overcome, but the material soon came into wide use, and as early as April 1824, Mackintosh was in correspondence with the ill-fated Arctic explorer Sir John Franklin on the subject of a supply of waterproof canvas bags, airbeds, and pillows for use on an expedition. From the 1830s, Charles Mackintosh & Co.'s trade in waterproof fabric began to decline following the development of the railway network. This was because the travellers were now less exposed to the weather than they had been when travelling in stagecoaches or on horseback. However, the rest of Mackintosh's business continued to grow and prosper. Mackintosh was tireless in his efforts to promote his commercial interests, carrying on an extensive commercial correspondence in English and French, in which he was fluent, and travelling often to France, Germany, and Sardinia, as well as continuing to keep up to date with developments in chemistry. He regularly attended lectures at the University of Glasgow until he was over 50. In 1836, Mackintosh's waterproofing patent was infringed by a London firm of silk mercers called Everington & Son, leading to a trial celebrated in its day, in which Mackintosh's patent was enthusiastically vindicated by the jury, even before the Lord Chief Justice had completed his summing up. As a result, Mackintosh's name passed almost immediately into the English language as a common name for waterproof fabrics and garments, having first been used in a private letter in 1836 by the painter William Powell Frith, and in America at least as early as 1840 by the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. In addition to his rubber business, Charles Mackintosh had in 1825 obtained a patent for converting malleable iron into steel by exposing it at a white heat to the action of gases charged with carbon, such as coal gas. Mackintosh took great interest in the manufacture of iron, and he rendered considerable practical assistance to James Beaumont Neilson in 1828 in bringing the latter's hot blast process into use. In return, Neilson assigned to him a share in the patent. To an extent, Mackintosh's enduring connection with the commercial applications of rubber has obscured his contemporary fame as an innovative chemist. But his discoveries in that branch of science were significant, and led to his election in 1824 as a Fellow of the Royal Society. Charles Mackintosh died at Dunchatten near Glasgow on the 25th of July 1843. He was survived by two of his three children, one of whom, George, wrote a detailed memoir of his father's life and business career. If you enjoyed this life of Charles Mackintosh, why not visit the Oxford DMB online at www.oxforddmb.com and learn about other people from the past? As well as more podcast episodes, you'll find thousands of interesting people who've shaped every aspect of British history.